Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 154 of the Citrix Session. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. It's February 12th, 2024. And if you're using Citrix Technologies and not getting what you think you should out of the technology, give us a call. Reach out to me through LinkedIn. Reach out to Philip Sellers and Bill Sutton, who are both on the podcast here. We want to help you. We know there's a lot that goes into end-user computing. Bill, if I had to say the percentage of customers that have either failed or not gotten to their objective in the end user compute world through your history of, you know, being in the space, what do you think the number is?
They have not gotten to their objective. It's pretty high, probably.
Yeah. I mean, give me a number.
60%, maybe 50%.
6 out of 10 have a goal and they don't get there. Philip, I know you've been around the space a long time too. You've worked for customers that had Citrix end user compute. Did you feel like you guys ever truly succeeded with the product?
You know, at times, yes. But I will say, you know, I inherited more than one struggling deployment. Mm-hmm. You know, it does take a little bit of art to make some of these things happen. And you need people alongside of you that really understand it and really understand how to get the best out of the software.
Would it be fair to say that there's a lot of science to it, but it takes art to make it get across the finish line?
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we probably all know. And then there's a few of us that know the art side of it to really make it sing, to really make it something special.
Yeah. And so, guys, that's the voice of Bill Sutton, who's with us all the time. Bill runs the delivery practice here at Zintegra, long-term end-user compute, Citrix guy. Just got back from the F5 conference where he learned more about, you know, integrations of the two. And then Philip Sellers, who's leading our what we call modern workspace practice. And Philip and Bill may be hosting this podcast more without me in the future as things get busy and we want to keep the content flowing. And so that's who those two guys are. We brought a blog today. Let's see. The blog we're reviewing today is Citrix LTSR. Bill, what does LTSR stand for?
Long-term service release.
Plan, upgrade, succeed, part one. So, Bill, if we're talking about this, there must be a new long-term service release either out or coming out. I guess it's out, right?
It's in early release right now. It hasn't actually been publicly put on the website, at least not as of Friday, but it's coming.
Okay. So LTSR, tell us what LTSR in layman's terms means to a Citrix customer.
Essentially, it means that it's long-term supportability. So typically with a current release, so you have two tiers. You have a current release and you have a LTSR, long-term service release. The current releases are typically released on about a quarterly or four-month cadence, and they're supported for about a year and a half or so, 18 months, 18 to 24 months. Whereas the long-term service release, those are released about every 3 years, I think two years. Every 2 years or so, and they're typically supported for five. So it's really giving the customer a well-tested, battle-worn, if you will, version of Citrix virtual apps and desktops and supporting it, providing support and maintenance for it for five full years.
Yeah. Hey, and real quick to give Emma Bland credit for the blog. Yeah. That's the blog we're reviewing. These are her words with our little context added to it. So, Bill, why wouldn't everybody just stay on an LTSR if it means it's solid and supported?
Well, the LTSR is largely fixed in terms of the feature set when it was released. So they do release cumulative updates for long-term service releases, but those cumulative updates are typically to integrate bug fixes and not major improvements to the core environment. They do that whenever they come out with a new long-term service release. They'll bring it up to date, if you will, in terms of the feature set. The current releases, of course, are just what they imply. It's the most current tech at the time they are released, and it's good from a supportability perspective, for about a year and a half.
And how often do you see people staying on LTSR is because that's their company mandate or because they have some application that parallel integrates with Citrix and that makes them stay on LTSR?
Yeah, there's a lot of customers that do LTSR. I expect to see a flood of migrations this year once this is released and, you know, the bugs have been worked out. Most folks aren't going to go to this right out of the gate. Some will, but most won't. Yeah. But we see the majority of the customers, most of the projects we see, they go to LPSR. We have very few that use the current releases. Usually the ones that do CRs are those that are smaller.
Yeah. So, Phil, we were just talking about in our management meeting, the services demand for our team had kind of waned a little bit for the modern workspace team. But are you expecting to see a plethora of new services coming in from customers that want to move to the latest LTSR?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of new functionality that has come out in the current releases in between. And, one of the other factors that kind of holds people back is compatibility or, supportability from their independent software vendors. So right. If their ISV software is not certified for the latest current release, which a lot of companies don't do, they try to certify their software against these long-term releases. That's going to hold a customer back. So I do think there's a pent-up demand that's certainly here for some of the newer features that are being added in.
Yeah. We probably wouldn't be doing it justice if we didn't highlight that, what is it, the 7.15 release? That's the one that officially goes away now?
It's actually, 7.15 went in, it's already gone end of life. 19.12 is coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, 1912 is coming up. 2203 is still supported. So 1912, you think about it, that typically is the year and month it was released. So that would be the 12th December of 2019. So that effectively will be the supportability of that will end at the end of this year, because that's 5 years hence.
Yeah.
And 2203, which would have been the third month of or March of 2022, that one's still supported. But there's a couple of pieces there. You know, some of the operating systems that are supported by that, and they get into this in the article. But some of the operating systems like 2012 R2 are no longer supported. So customers will need to migrate off. If they've got workloads, they'll need to figure out how to migrate off those because that operating system is not supported. And technically 2016 went end of life in January of last year. So that's also an issue in the newest release. So those are some other reasons why folks may not have moved off of the older LPSRs, because the newer versions require a newer version of the OS, and so they can't really migrate if they're not ready to.
Yeah, I can't believe I looked at 7.15 as if it was still around.
Oh, it is. We run into it periodically, for sure.
Yeah.
Into 6.5, Andy.
Okay. Well, that's why it all makes sense for me to say that.
Yeah.
I guess we wouldn't be doing justice if we might have a new listener here. This is the on-prem solution. Yeah. If you're running CVAD, if you're running Citrix Cloud, then this is all a moot point to you. The control plane and things upgrade. You just have to upgrade your agents and you keep up to a large degree, whether you want to or not. And for the most part, you don't have to worry about it. It's getting a lot of testing done against it. And as long as you're not an early adopter, then you're probably in perfect shape there. And you're getting all the latest features.
Yeah.
But what percentage of customers are we seeing that are on-prem running LTSRs or latest releases versus Citrix Cloud? I'd be curious what those numbers are.
It has shifted considerably. A lot of customers have moved to Citrix DAS now, but we still probably have 30% of our customers that are on-prem, on-premises, and the majority of those are larger customers that have more structured environments that are... And particularly with older applications that need to be on site, a lot of healthcare still is on prem, so forth. So I'd say probably at least 30%.
Yeah. Hey, Philip, you want to take a stab at this last paragraph here where they're talking about things you need to think about going into an LTSR upgrade?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you called out one of the big ones, which is operating system support, right? You know, as we've managed farms in the past and in my past life, you know, moving from 6.5 to 7.15, this is a huge part of modernizing your workspaces. You've got to keep up with the current operating systems. You've got to test compatibility. So this becomes challenging for a lot of our customers with older software, maybe software that they stopped paying maintenance on and they're stuck in time at a point in time. But then beyond that, testing any of the new features is part of the big part here. So, if there's new features, I can think about SAML authentication being one that came out fairly recently. testing that, making sure that it works and that you get the correct user experience on the other side is really important as you're going forward and validating your upgrade path.
Yeah. Hey, I probably pushed us ahead too fast. Supportability, right? Third-party vendors, operating systems, that kind of thing. It starts here with an important call out that CVED 1912 LTSR is the last LTSR on the supports version server 2012. And that seems like a long time ago. So no more 2012.
Seems like a long time ago. And then it also seems like yesterday, doesn't it? So, you know, it's over a decade old. So that's saying something that we've been able to support it to this point.
I think I say that because that was kind of the end of my Citrix career and the beginning of my Zintegra consulting career. And that was, you know, that was the state of the art. That was the most recent operating system. Wow. Time flies. All right. So, Bill, anything else to add around the operating system challenge of going to the latest LTSR?
The only other thing is, obviously, when you're doing on-premises Citrix virtual apps and desktops, you need a SQL Server. And so the SQL Server version is also important. If you're running CVAD 1912, then there's older versions that you will need to upgrade in order to support the newest LTSR. If you're on 2203, you may or may not be, and that's where we can come in and help evaluate where you stand and what the path is. And an important thing here to point out is that most of these, you're not going to be doing, we don't do in-place migrations typically anymore. It's a parallel. You stand up a parallel environment and then slowly move your users over. It's a much cleaner way of doing it, especially when you're talking about much older operating systems.
Yeah, so if it's somewhat up to date, we can do it. We may not recommend it, we can do it. But if it's old, we're definitely going to build a parallel environment.
For sure.
Yeah.
And there's another consideration that Emma lists in this article is you're no longer able to add ZenApp 6.5 resources using Storefront. Used to be you could aggregate them in Storefront. Yeah. In other words, you have a Storefront server sitting there pointing to the new DAS environment, the new CVAD environment. As well as the old 6.5 environment and aggregates the resources into one console, if you will, or one web page. That's long gone after in 2308, which would have been August of last year, and that will be included in the newest Storefront, which means that won't be supported anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Hard to believe, but as you mentioned, we're still running into it.
We do run into it. It's much less frequent, but we have run into it in the past year. 6.5.
You know, I want to go back to the operating system call out. That is, you know, no more 2012 R2 for both the controllers as well as the VDAs, the virtual delivery agents. It's both pieces of that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then that goes into something I know Philip is wildly aware of, and that is the application correlations and what's supported, what's not supported, what works, what doesn't work. What's best effort, what's not. Philip, the application supportability ties into here, both from a OS and from a Citrix perspective.
It does. And this is one of the places where, you know, we get inventive, we get creative too, right? So for those customers who have the really old applications, sometimes app packaging may come into play. You know, we work with other vendors like Liquidware, where we can possibly package the app to let it run on a newer version of Windows. But this is again, going to be best effort kind of stuff. If you have older applications that you've not kept current, then it becomes a sticking point for your upgrades.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a bigger part of our conversations during the pre-sale cycle is where are your applications and you know, are you maintaining those? So that's the collaboration that we try to bring to our customers around the application piece.
Yeah. And just a quick Zintegra commercial for that. If you have an old environment you just can't get rid of, you know, we could support it best effort, but it would be clearly defined and signed off on that it was best effort and we couldn't get any help from either the vendors in this case, the application vendor, the Microsoft vendor, or the Citrix vendor in this case. I'm going to read this one out loud because I can't believe I'm even having to read it. But the PN agent site, the program neighborhood agent site, also known as ZenApp Services, is also deprecated from Storefront 2308 forward regarding various compliance guidelines such as FIPS, Common Criteria 508, accessibility, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think I'd ever see the word P&H again.
It's interesting that that's called out here, but yeah, that's just like the aggregation of version 6.5, the P&H owners and app services connectivity is gone as well. That I think where we've seen that is to enable integration with certain types of access cards in the past. I think that most of those access card environments or vendors have migrated to the latest architecture and aren't using P&H anymore, which is part of the reason why they're getting rid of it.
Or those really old thin clients that just will not die and people
can't. Correct. Yeah. But still have that field for P&H and they still want you to populate it to make it work. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I'll let you handle this one too. It's probably in your wheelhouse for Citrix Workspace app across endpoint devices. So the Citrix, right? It's an asynchronous solution. You got your big backend or your cloud-based backend, but of course you got to have something on the endpoint, including HTML5. What is it about the Workspace app that's called out here?
Well, it's really just calling out the fact that you need to be using a version that's supported. 1912 LTSR went end of life earlier this year. So if you're using that version, they recommend that you upgrade it. There will be a LTSR version of the Workspace app. There always is to match the version of CVAD. Some customers elect to use the CR version on the Workspace app, which is fine. Many just stick with the LTSR version. But either way, it's best to upgrade to the LTSR version. But obviously, as the next section we'll talk about, you want to test this to make sure that you know your workstations will support it, that that it gives you all the features that you need. There aren't any issues with your applications, et cetera.
Yep. Okay. Philip, you started to go into testing a little while ago. The plethora of new features, probably a good idea to test.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people like me sometimes think of Citrix as a pretty stable thing. But man, just going through the documentation of what new features have been released, it is pages of new features. Yeah. So Citrix is not standing still. There's tons of development. There's tons of new things that are coming out. I think education is the first part of that. You know, there is a tool here linked, the LTSR to LTSR feature matrix. So I expect that'll get updated when we have a new release officially out there. Education is the first piece of it. What do you have access to that you didn't have access to before? And so, you know, if you've got questions around that, that's a place where our pre-sales team can definitely help you understand what's possible. What do these features mean to you? How do they help your user experience? How do they play in your environment? That's the first place to go. And then, you know, we're doing our diligence on the back end. We're running these things and testing these things so that we know and can have a little more information for you about how that impacts you. And then when we go through the actual scoping process, that's where we can decide which of these features do we want to bundle in? What do we want to focus on to help your environment get the most out of your investment on Citrix?
Well, and that's something I really want to talk through a little bit. You know, been in lots of organizations where some engineer has the idea that you want to turn a feature on and maybe introduce a whole lot of capability, but also potentially problems into the environment. And the business didn't ask for it. They just turned it on. I assume we still see that happening.
I mean, it definitely still happens. I talked to a customer the other day, and during the course of our call on a different topic, someone had accidentally pushed out something to their entire server farm. You know, mistakes will happen. You know, sometimes you'll check a box, and sometimes these things enable by default as part of your upgrade path. And so that's where having good consultation really comes into play as a customer, having a partner that you can rely on who can bring you that information.
Well, and that partner might have to stand up to you and say, hey, do this in your test environment first.
Yeah.
Let me look at your test environment, and they show you one server that's in production that has, you know, just has all the test stuff on it. That's not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, you know, it's hard sometimes to justify a full test environment for something like a Citrix deployment. But there is value in that. Doing things in parallel, having the ability to test things definitely has a lot of value. I found that to be the case. You know, in my prior life before joining Zintegra, we needed to be able to ensure that our offshore contractors who are working when I'm not wanting to take calls at 2 a.m. You know, we need to make sure that that's a foolproof sort of login experience for them. We want to make sure that, you know, we're not degrading the overall experience that we're delivering. We want to only improve upon what we're doing. So testing is a critical part of that.
Yeah. Bill, do you see customers with test environments that we're doing maybe the initial upgrades with and then the production, or we going right into production?
No, we see some, most I would say, go right into production. They'll build a parallel environment and then go right in and then migrate over from there. But we don't, there are a lot of customers that don't have a quote unquote test environment. A lot of times they'll have a test server like a VDA, but not a full test environment. That's a small percentage, maybe probably 10% or less than mostly larger, more mature environments.
And 99% of the time you get away with that throughout the year, but that one moment where you don't.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, and that's why we also have taken the practice of doing parallel builds. Right. We get to do that during a parallel build, and that becomes essentially a test environment before it goes into production. Yeah. It reduces the risk factor to a large degree.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that justifies the whole thing right there, is getting to roll it out and test it, and all the bad stuff that you know is in the old one, it just goes away because it never went in there.
Yeah, I mean, to Philip's point, the majority of the implementations we do are parallel. So that environment effectively becomes your pilot environment, if you will. So maybe not test, but it's used that way until it's ready to go. Customers that have full-blown test environments are leveraging them typically to test upgrades like CUs or OS patches and application patches before they go to production. Obviously, in a parallel build, you would do that as well before you started cutting users of it, at least in theory.
And my advice on that is to have a personal sandbox environment, which sometimes gets confused with test, a test environment that mirrors production. And even with that, you still do a parallel build of a new test environment and a new environment. Yep. I know that sounds like overkill, but your company's relying on this stuff to work in order for the business to go. It's worth it.
I mean, if your business relies on this for day-to-day functionality, you need to do it that way. Yep. But another key thing I wanted to point out here, she doesn't really mention it in this article, but obviously it's important to test new features. It's important to test applications. It's important to do parallel builds. But there have been some pretty significant changes in the management framework around Citrix Virtual Apps and Desktops since 2203. Most notably, we no longer have an MMC-based admin experience. It's all web-based now. So if the administrators haven't had any sort of exposure to Citrix DAS, this is going to be completely new to them. So they're going to really have to understand the flow of how to create machine catalogs and delivery groups. And, I mean, a lot of it's very similar, but the look and feel and finding the locations of certain things may be more of a challenge. So that's an important consideration, I think, as part of the process, is making sure that your admins that are going to be managing the environment, you know, routinely understand where everything is and how to get to it quickly and how to manage the environment. Because the old skills are not going to be useful for sure, but it'll just be a change in how they go about it.
Yeah, that's why I do everything in PowerShell myself.
Yeah. Okay. Never changes, right?
I wish. I never quite got to be that guru I wanted to be, but do other things these days. Well, guys, I appreciate you talking about the LTSR. There's another part two coming from Emma at some point. We'll be on lookout for that. And we hope there's a lot of customers out there that want to move to LTSR. They're going to have to at some point, and we're here to help them. Bill, any parting comments?
No, I would echo what you just said. I mean, obviously at Zintegra, we're committed to helping our customers and new customers with the Citrix technology and among many other things. So reach out to us if you need help, when you need help, and we've got the expertise and the team ready to help.
Yeah. Philip, anything else from you?
Yeah, I will tell the listeners the same thing I told one of our customers. We didn't happen to work with them on another technology. And I said, look, I will be glad to be your free consultation. I'll be glad to point you in the right directions. And it doesn't matter if you bought the product from us, we'll still be glad to help you fix it if you're struggling. So if you're in that boat, definitely reach out. We have, hopefully we'll have the answers for you. We've got the expertise, and we'll work it together.
We don't have to have every dollar of your business. We're looking for your business as a partner long-term.
Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, thank you. And we'll look to do it again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.